It is July 21st, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The service at Old St. Patrick's Church for Jacqueline Cashman yesterday morning was well attended in the beautifully restored sanctuary of the church where her daughter Bridget has worked at the school for the last 30 years. Jackie and her husband Tom have been huge benefactor of St. Pat's over the years, with Jackie serving on the Emerald Ball Fundraiser Committee for many years to raise money for St. Pat's. It was the fitting site for her service. My entry into the futures industry came from working for Tom and Jackie Cashman, starting when I was 17 years old. I was hired as Tom's summer driver after he had helped his previous driver get a job with Hennessy & Associates. I drove Tom between my junior and senior years in high school and then afterwards all through my college years, including 1981, when he helped me get a job as a runner on the old agricultural trading floor with Shearson American Express. My desk manager was Neil Lustig, now of the CME Group. We left Williams Bay, Wisconsin at 4:45 a.m. and left Chicago by 1:45 p.m. to return, dropping off several members of what we refer to as the Irish Mafia, Burke, Wall, and Donahue, in Fox Lake, Illinois, where they had traveled into Chicago by train in the morning. While I worked for Tom, I also coached his son Thomas F. Cashman in Little League Baseball in Williams Bay, Wisconsin, in the evenings after we returned from Chicago for the day. We have been friends ever since. I love the Cashman family, and I learned much about life and how to treat people from Thomas J. Cashman. He always treated everyone so well and the same, whether a multi-million-dollar trader or a cab driver. Jackie always treated me very well, too, as if I were part of the family. Tom was such a dedicated husband that he would call Jackie at 9:15 before the markets opened and at 9:30 a.m. and then 2 p.m. after the market he was trading closed. I can remember Tom would call his mother every day, too, when I worked for him. I was often sent on trips around Chicago to pick up something at Marshall Fields or to pick up an aunt of Jackie's on the south side of Chicago and drop her somewhere. I learned Chicago and learned to love Chicago, all before the advent of GPS. I also learned how to parallel park a Chevrolet Suburban. I am blessed to have had a mentor like Tom Cashman. One big reason I became such an outspoken electronic trading advocate years ago was because I wanted Tom and people like him, whose lives were dependent on the trading floor, to know that I could sense there was a big freight train about to run over them and take from them their livelihoods. Tom Cashman stayed the course on the trading floor as long as it was there, but yesterday I saw the freight train that ran over him. Grief. Looking into his eyes as our eyes locked as he recessed down the aisle of St. Patrick's Church behind the casket of his beloved wife of 57 years, I saw the saddest eyes I've ever seen. It broke my heart. And as I tried to express this to my wife, Cheryl, I broke and started to cry. I hope I don't have to return to St. Pat's for another funeral anytime soon. Thomas J. Cashman was the inspiration for the John Lothian Profiles video series. His was the first of the series that also included Blair Hull, Neil Kottke, Lee Stern, Mike Forrester, Tom Cadillac, Bob Otter, George Garrow, Ralph Roth, and Steve Stazek. It was Thomas F. Cashman who gave me the idea for the Open Outcry Traders History Project, which begot the Path to Electronic Trading video series as well. Thus, my history and the history work JLN and I are doing for the industry are intertwined in the Cashman family. Today we have episode 4 of our Options Discovery with Alex Tang that includes an interview with Chen Liang, the co-founder of Odds Trade, who reached out to me after he saw the first episode. Chen has a good story to tell. We are also publishing Options Discovery and the complete interview with Chen separately. The LME shared on LinkedIn that independent consultants Oliver Wyman are seeking feedback from key stakeholders and interested parties as part of an independent review they are conducting into the events into the nickel market leading up to the suspension in March 2022. Good guy David Silverman has joined T-Zero Group, Inc. as head of corporate development. I first came across David when he was an electronic trading brokerage competitor. We have become friends over the years, and he even found a previous job from a listing posted to this newsletter, though that did not work out as well as we both would have hoped. The Financial Times is reporting that British teens' most popular source of news is Instagram, and TikTok was the second most popular source. I wonder if I could talk my wife into a trip to Paris for our wedding anniversary on September 23rd. Not only would we be in the City of Love for our anniversary, but I could attend the FIA's Forum Paris 2022 to be held from 1:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. CEST at Euronext Paris. The forum will look at trends in clearing, products, and operations. Paris, the City of Love, and clearing. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The Spread, Options Discovery, Episode 4, Institutional and Retail Options Trading, interview with Chen Liang of Odds Trade. In this episode of Options Discovery, Alex Tang goes over institutional versus retail options trading and the advantages and disadvantages for both. He also interviews Chen Liang, the co-founder of Odds.Trade, who talks about generating insight from data models and how he developed tools designed for entry-level retail traders. Retail trading has doubled during the pandemic and has been growing steadily since, and retail traders want tools for analytics and visualization in their toolbox that will help them with a variety of option strategies, Liang says. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Also, we have the complete interview, Chen Liang, the co-founder of Odds.Trade. Complete interview. JLN talks with Chen Liang, co-founder of Odds.Trade, a fintech company that develops tools for retail options traders that enable them to quickly generate option strategies ideas. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from AFX. American financial exchange volume levels surge above pre-pandemic levels. The American Financial Exchange, AFX, an electronic exchange for direct lending and borrowing for American banks and financial institutions, announced a significant increase in daily volume levels, reporting an average of over $2.2 billion transacted for 5 consecutive days in July. Additionally, the AFX Ameribor benchmark reached $3.11 billion on July 19th, marking one of the benchmark's top three best trading days since inception. AFX has been a reliable source of liquidity, providing efficient and transparent access to funds for an institution like Western Alliance. Recent volumes on the platform reflect the changing dynamics of the interbank market and the economy at large, said John Radwanski, Treasurer, Western Alliance Bank Corporation. My comment, does this make us pre-normal? Here's a press release from ICE. ICE extends climate risk management offering with acquisition of Urgentum. Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., a leading global provider of data, technology, and market infrastructure, today announced it has expanded its climate risk offering with the acquisition of Urgentum, a provider of global corporate emissions and climate transition data, Urgentum's data analytics will enable ICE to quickly expand its climate risk offering to include extended coverage of global public and private companies across new geographies, scenario risk analysis, and stress testing for fund managers and banks. My comment, more data for ICE sounds like a good fit. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Fuzzy Clan's market debut disappoints investors who don't buy the hype. The group of gaming and esports celebrities helped pioneer the influencer marketing industry. The frat house of the video game industry is flinging open its doors and letting the public in. Fuzzy Clan, a bombastic organization of gaming celebrities and esports pros that helped pioneer the influencer marketing industry, began trading on the NASDAQ Wednesday after merging with a special purpose acquisition company. It became the first publicly traded Gen Z influencer company and one of only a handful of esports companies on the market. But Fozzy's business is built on hype and Wall Street wasn't buying it. My comment, down 24% yesterday because, well, hype is hype. But I have a good feeling about this SPAC. But then maybe I am just going through a Fozzy. Here's a story from the FT. How is the jet stream connected to simultaneous heat waves across the globe? Scientists are racing to understand the changing shape of the air currents. The deadly heat waves that have fueled blazes and caused transport disruptions in Europe, the US, and China this month have one thing in common, a peculiar shape in the jet stream dubbed wave number 5. Scientists are racing to understand whether the band of fast-moving air that controls weather in the mid-latitudes is changing in a way that makes heat waves more frequent and persistent. My comment, it starts with a butterfly here and a butterfly there. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was how Troy Kane went from a 14-year-old trading floor clerk to a global head of derivatives and FICC development from insider via Citadel Securities. Second was, yes, the tweet by @DannyDurani of a baby panda loudly enjoying a squash. Third was a tie between the picture of the late Ralph Goldenberg with Chris Haymire and Jessica Haymire, which was number one on Tuesday, and the Financial Times, how FTX plans to reshape the U.S. futures market with crypto tech. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First from Bloomberg, the headline, JP Morgan trader spoofed so fast, colleagues urged ICE on fingers. Greg Smith clicked his computer mouse so rapidly to place and cancel bogus gold and silver orders for Bear Stearns Companies and later JP Morgan Chase & Company that his colleagues would joke that he needed to put ice on his fingers to cool them down afterward and that he must be double-jointed. That's how his former protege, Christian Truntz, described for jurors how he watched Smith use so-called spoof trades, large orders intended to manipulate prices that were quickly canceled. Truntz 37 said he learned how to spoof from Smith and others after joining Bear Stearns out of college in 2007, shortly before the bank was acquired by JP Morgan. The second story is from the FT. Broker IG reports record revenue after strong U.S. growth. Performance of TastyTrade acquisition helped offset slowdown in do-it-yourself trading. Brokerage group IG delivered record revenue and profits as growth at its U.S. subsidiary made up for a slowdown in do-it-yourself trading as the COVID-19 pandemic waned. Strong performance at TastyTrade, the U.S. derivatives broker that the group bought last year, contributed the bulk of IG's 16% growth in revenue in the year to the end of May. Overall revenue from continuing operations rose to £973 million, but only rose 1% if the U.S. business is excluded. Brokers enjoyed a boom in demand at the height of the pandemic as people stuck at home during the lockdown surfed volatile markets and took bets with their extra savings. And then lastly, from The Guardian, revealed oil sector's staggering $3 billion a day profit for the last 50 years. The oil and gas industry has delivered $2.8 billion or 2.3 billion pounds a day in pure profit for the last 50 years. A new analysis has revealed the vast total captured by petrostates and fossil fuel companies since 1970 is $52 trillion, providing the power to buy every politician, every system, and delay action on the climate crisis, said Professor Aviel Verbruggen, the author of the analysis. The huge profits were inflated by cartels of countries artificially restricting supply. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.